I'm here with Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, we have more news on Ukraine Gate and the impeachment and documents that have now dropped related to Rudy Giuliani, Lev Parnas, and some guy from Connecticut, I believe, running for Congress, Robert Hyde. I've never heard of this guy. So all of a sudden, he's been inserted into the mix. Yovanovitch was being spied on, supposedly, in Ukraine. And we've got all these like napkin type of notes that Lev Parnas gave to the Democrats. And now they've, you know, thrown them into the impeachment mix saying, look, we've got it now. We've got the smoking gun. There's text messages as well where these two guys, Parnas and Hyde, were, I don't know, running some surveillance on Yovanovitch. The whole thing sounds utterly stupid. But anyway, get into this story because this is the latest and greatest smoking gun that they have to prove that there was quid pro quo between Trump and Ukraine. And I just want to make a side note that Ukraine, from what we're understanding, Ukraine has decided to open up an investigation as to the fact that then Ambassador Yovanovitch may have been surveilled by this Parnas guy. So that's the latest news.
Okay. Let's unpack this. Now, first of all, I should quickly say that throughout the whole Trump presidency, I've heard this expression smoking gun used so many times that I'm absolutely, you know, bored by it. Every so often, you get a sort of document dump. The Democrats or whoever comes up with a huge document dump. They tell us all sorts of things that these documents or this revelation or this, you know, we'd be Flynn talking to Kislyak or Donald Trump Jr. talking to a Russian lawyer in Trump Tower, that this is going to be the great smoking gun that's going to prove, you know, the great evil and wrongdoing that's going on within the Trump White House or the Trump campaign. And then you drill into the detail and you discover that it's not any kind of smoking gun. And that in fact, it isn't anything about anything. It's happened regularly. The second feature of all of these investigations is that the Democrats and their friends in the media invariably start off alleging one thing. And then when that isn't proved, they don't admit that it hasn't been proved. They switch to talking about something completely different. So if we go back to the origins of Ukraine Gate, this was supposed to be about Donald Trump putting pressure on the Ukrainians to start an investigation of John Biden. That was what it was supposed to be. No evidence for that has ever been really produced. I mean, we've had some guesses from Ambassador Sondland that that might have been the case. But as we've discussed, even he admits that he never actually heard Donald Trump say anything like that. So now, when Donald Trump is supposed to be going through an impeachment trial on that original allegation, what we see is something completely different coming up, which is the alleged surveillance of Murray Yovanovitch, the Ukrainian ambassador, the American ambassador in Ukraine, in Kiev, by Lev Parnas, and this man whom I've also, Radcliffe, or was it, what are you saying?
Robert Hyde.
Robert Hyde, whom I've also never heard of up till now, and who even Parnas apparently it says, you know, describes him as weird. Anyway, these two characters were running around supposedly spying on the US ambassador in Kiev. You know, two things to say. Firstly, how do you spy on the US ambassador? I mean, I'm trying to get my head around that. I mean, anybody who knows anything about how US embassies work, I mean, you come from a diplomatic family. We've both been to US embassies, myself to the one in Athens. I'm sure you've been to the US embassy. It's impossible. You can't just carry out surveillance of the US ambassador. I mean, the Americans are surveilling you. It just doesn't work like that. But the other thing is, I have to say, this Parnas character, who's supposed to be providing all this information, he reminds me of Michael Cohen, I do remember this dodgy lawyer who appeared during the Russiagate investigation, who was also supposed to provide all this, you know, information, which in the end it turned out wasn't anything of substance. I mean, do you believe Parnas? Do you believe the documents he provides? I would have said you take it very, very carefully before you commit yourself to believing anything that comes of this man. I mean, he comes across to me as beyond dodgy, as we would say in England. But on top of any of this, what does any of this have to do with Donald Trump? If Hyde and Parnas, for reasons unknown to themselves, known only to themselves, were carrying out surveillance, however that's carried out, on the US ambassador in Kiev. And you know, if they were doing it on behalf of Rudy Giuliani, well, you know, good for them. But what does this ultimately have to do with Donald Trump? Why would Donald Trump, who is the president of the United States, who's able to sack an ambassador whenever he wants, why would he need people like Parnas and Hyde carrying out surveillance on the ambassador? I mean, this thing is just so zany. It makes so little sense that I suspect that it doesn't make sense. And the reason it doesn't make sense is because ultimately there is no reality to this story. It seems to me what has happened is that the Democrats know perfectly well that the case they've taken to the Senate has absolutely no substance to it. There is no reality behind it whatsoever. And so they've been spending the last couple of weeks frantically looking around for something else that they can throw at Donald Trump in the hope, forlorn hope, that it will gain some traction in the Senate. I predict it won't, because I predict the senators, or at least the Republican senators, when they look at all of this nonsense, they'll say to themselves, well, nonsense is what it is. Maybe some people were up to some weird things, but I can't see that this is going to go anywhere at all. And I mean, it doesn't make any kind of sense, and there's no reason why it would.
Yeah, this guy Parnas submitted like scraps of paper and cocktail napkins where he took notes as to what was going on as he was surveilling Marie Yovanovitch.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was sending text messages to this Hyde guy. And okay, they were just talking all kinds of nonsense.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, people do. We know that people do talk all sorts of nonsense to each other. And as I said, what somebody scribbles on a cocktail napkin isn't usually taken.
Yeah, they're not dated. There's no.
Exactly. They're not taken usually as very convincing.
You know what I think? I think these guys, bad on Giuliani.
Yeah.
For spending time with these guys, this Parnas guy. But I think these guys got so excited that Giuliani was giving them a task.
Yeah.
You know, you're in Kiev. Lev, why don't you just do this? And I think he got so excited that he actually thought he was going to be in the spy world. I don't know if you saw the movie Lethal Weapon, like number 2 and 3, where you had Joe Pesci character who's hanging out with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. And he's just so excited to be with these cool guys, you know, spying and doing all this surveillance, all this, you know, cop stuff, that it was just ridiculous. That's what this Lev Parnas guy is like, I think. I think he was just so excited, him and this Hyde guy, that they were, you know, part of the Giuliani inner circle and they were going to be spying on a U.S. ambassador. Yeah. They even said that she was under the protection of the FSB and the Russians.
The whole thing is absolute nuts. I mean, as I said, the whole thing is, some people really... I think you're right. I think they have been watching too many spy films and getting pulled along by far too much nonsense. But I mean, this is absolute nonsense. But yeah, let's go back to the substance of this. What does this have to do with Donald Trump? I mean, is it being alleged that Parnas was acting on Donald Trump's orders? Where are those orders? When did Parnas meet with Donald Trump? Well, clearly, obviously, he didn't. I mean, the whole thing is just, as I said, completely ridiculous. And if you carry out some kind of surveillance operation on the UN on the US ambassador in Kiev, frankly, How is that necessary? I mean, what is the surveillance amount to anyway? I mean, it doesn't seem to me to make any sense. And I would also caution against taking at all seriously any reports coming out of Ukraine that they're actually carrying out some kind of criminal investigation there. If you follow Ukrainian politics as closely as I do, you know that it's actually extremely easy to get a criminal investigation going. All you have to do is put in a complaint, and lo and behold, you've got a criminal investigation. It doesn't mean it's going to be taken anywhere.
Yeah, it's easy to spark an investigation. All you have to do is just bribe someone in Kiev, and they'll open up an investigation. It's as easy as can be.
It's as easy as that. Exactly.
If you're surveilling someone, Alexander, you don't surveil. I mean, do you surveil with cocktail napkin notes and little scribbled pieces of paper, or texting someone from a car? I mean, that's not real surveillance
of someone
as prominent as an American ambassador.
Well, of course,
or I have someone on the inside, he's saying, and she's, you know, under protection of the FSB, and I have someone on the inside. I mean, this is Joker stuff, isn't it? This is not real spycraft.
It's not real spycraft at all. I mean, and as I said, what was the objective of it, or what was it intended to prove at the end of the day?
Well they say that there isn't it the one step of separation? It's Giuliani, and Giuliani's an earshot away from Trump. So I guess that's kind of the argument.
Exactly. But that's the kind of argument you can push. But it's not evidence. It's not even circumstantial evidence. I mean, it's joining together dots. Well, you know, anybody can join dots together, but when you go to court or an impeachment trial, you can't just go with surmise. You have to provide facts. I mean, unless Giuliani comes along and says in the Senate, well, you know, I was ordered by Donald Trump to set up a surveillance operation, and I did
with Lev Parnas and Robert Hyde.
Exactly. I don't really see how this connects to Donald Trump directly anyway. And by the way, even if that is true, frankly, I mean, you know, it's the mind boggles. But let's assume that is true. Is that even impeachable?
I've got two comments to close out on this, Alexander. Number one, my first question to you is, what does this say about Giuliani, the fact that he's even associating with a guy like Parnas? That's number one. It doesn't really look good for Giuliani.
No.
The fact that he's even talking to this guy or wasting his time on this idiot.
Yes.
Why waste your time on this guy? You're Rudy Giuliani. And number two, the Democrats may just be looking to change the minds of three or four or five Republican senators, just to sow some doubt before the elections. Maybe that's the ultimate goal, not so much to get the Senate to impeach Trump, but just to sow enough doubt in a Mitt Romney so that, you know, going into 2020, they can say, well, he didn't get a clear, you know, majority to be acquitted of wrongdoing. So we have him on something, you know, it's a little shaky at least. Maybe that's the reason to dump these ridiculous documents out.
Can I just say, first of all, that I think that's exactly what the agenda is. I think perhaps to some extent they're hoping to get some leverage over the Senate to try and get the Senate to agree to, you know, listen to witnesses by sort of implying that there may be all kinds of things that haven't been brought out yet. And it may be that there's partly that's the ploy. But the other thing is, I think you're quite right. I think that they're hoping that they can sow doubts among some Republican senators. I don't think it's going to work. I think for it to work, you would have to have something an awful lot more convincing than this is. I mean, to say that this is unconvincing is an understatement. I mean, it is not just unconvincing. It is nothing. It's once again, it's a pile of nonsense. This is one thing we've been seeing so much of over the last 3 years. And bear in mind, the senators, the people in the Senate, are very used to this now. I mean, they've been hearing all these terrible stories back in 2017 when the Democrats came along with all kinds of, you know, witnesses and people who'd said all sorts of things. I think at that time, some Republican senators were prepared to say, well, maybe there's some you know, fire behind all the smoke. I think 3 years on, I think they worked out long ago what the Democrats are up to. And I don't think even the most anti-Trump Republican is really going to be prepared in the Senate to go along with this kind of nonsense. That's my view. Anyway, and that's how it should be, by the way, because as I said, this isn't evidence ultimately of anything that relates to Donald Trump. Now, as for Giuliani, well, we haven't properly heard his side of the story yet, but the fact that he got himself involved with Lev Parnas, I have to say, does speak extremely badly about his judgment. I mean, he certainly went completely wrong on this one. I mean, Parnas is not somebody you should want to have any dealings with at all. I should say something actually about Giuliani, where I think Giuliani has gone wrong is that he's tried to carry out these investigations himself. He's the president's lawyer. He has some background in investigation. But I think if he wanted to carry out a proper investigation in Ukraine, which is an incredibly dangerous place to carry out an investigation in, well, what you do is you go to one of the top investigative companies. They do exist, people like Kroll Associates, for example, and you commission them to do a proper investigation on your behalf in Ukraine. You don't try and do it yourself. I think if you try and do it yourself, what you end up with is getting compromised by getting too close to people like Parnas. So that I think, I'm going to say that I think that is when Giuliani has gone wrong. And he has shown extremely poor judgment.
Yeah, the propaganda wheels will now start to turn because Parnas was on Rachel Maddow and he gave an interview there. So they'll put maximum pressure now on Republicans in the Senate. Well, and bad on Giuliani. I agree. I thought he was smarter than to.
Yeah, I thought so too. I think he was overconfident, actually. And I think it'll be a shame, by the way, if a lot of the information he did come up with, which I think is true, and reliable about, you know, and which has been independently corroborated about, you know, what the dismissal of Shokin and all that is discredited because he got too close to someone like Parnas. So let's see what happens. But as I said, in terms of the impeachment itself, this doesn't take us forward.
But it is a lot like Cohen, to wrap it up, in that, you know, Trump put his trust in Cohen. He was also his lawyer, and eventually Cohen stabbed him in the back. Parnas is kind of a similar scenario where it looks like Giuliani trusted this guy to, you know, do some work for him in Ukraine, whatever that work was. I mean, surveillance, I think it wasn't surveillance because whatever Parnas was doing was not surveillance. But whatever, you know, he associated with this guy and now this guy is, you know, turning his back on him as well.
Absolutely. I mean, the point is, I mean, Parnas himself is, of course, under investigation. He's been criminally investigated. So just like Cohen did, he's trying to get out of that by making all kinds of extraordinary allegations against Giuliani and by extension against Trump. And he's trying to cut deals with the Democrats. He didn't work for Cohen. I predict he won't vote for Parnas either. In fact, Cohen certainly made a mistake, and I predict Parnas is going to make one also. He's just going to make enemies amongst the Republicans, and in the end, the Democrats will just drop him.
Yeah, I agree. Democrats will easily throw him under the bus.
Absolutely.
All right, Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Deran. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we publish a video. Check us out on iTunes and on SoundCloud as well to get an audio copy of this video, and look for us on BitChute and DuranVideo.com, where we post all our videos there as well. Download the Telegram app and follow us on the Duran there to get updates on everything that's going on in the Duran community, including the DRN20 discount, 20% off our ebooks, where we give 100% of those proceeds to the NSW Rural Fire Services. Every time you buy an ebook with a foreword by Alexander, we will donate 100% of those proceeds to the firefighters in Australia, Alexander.
We absolutely will, because this is a tragedy that we care about hugely at the Duran. We've been hearing all kinds of terrible things coming out of Australia about the devastation caused by these fires. But at the same time, it's outside our envelope as a channel that does geopolitics and political news and legal analysis sometimes when it has a political aspect and economic analysis. We're not really equipped at the moment to discuss this kind of issue. At the same time, we feel we need to cover the story and we need to express in some way our support for the people of Australia and specifically for the firefighters who are fighting these fires. So Alex came up with this idea, which all of us on the Durant have enthusiastically supported, which is to give all the proceeds of the sales of our four ebooks to the fund that is supporting these firefighters, most of whom are volunteers. So I would urge you to support the firefighters by buying those books. You can also find a donation, a way you can donate directly to the fund. But I would also urge you to actually look at those books for your own knowledge, because we've got four ebooks on our shop, one on Russiagate, one on Brexit. We've got the two new ones. One is on Ukraine Gate, which we've talked about in this program, which is the great scandal, so we're told, which isn't really a scandal at all, because there's nothing ultimately there. It's the great non-story, and yet a president is being impeached on the strength of it. And then the contrasting scandal, the Epstein story, where there are crimes and wrongdoing on a huge scale with lots of victims, and that's not getting really any publicity at all. So in those two books, we've discussed and analyzed those two scandals. I've written prefaces for each, pulling it all, tying them all together. So read our books, learn about these two scandals, and also support the firefighters. Of course, it's not just ebooks you get on our shop. You get all our other amazing merchandise, our phenomenal Durant Magic mugs, like the one I'm drinking from at the moment. I've had a very dry throat, by the way, throughout these programs. So it's been even more important that I have my refreshing, invigorating magic mug next to me so that I can get through programs like this. This one, by the way, has the coat of arms of the Russian Federation on it. And you can see what a beautiful mug it is. Beautifully made porcelain, incredibly strong, incredibly light. Keeps your tea warm, keeps your beer cold if you want to drink beer, as I have done from it. And we've got a big range of these mugs now with all sorts of other emblems and coats of arms. And I've had many of them. They're all in perfect condition, even though I've had them for almost a year, because they're so well made. But it's not just magic mugs you will find on our shop. You will also find marvelous shirts like the one I'm wearing at the moment, long sleeved, 100% cotton, keeps you warm on a wet, cold January day in London, where my goodness, you need to be warm. And we've also got short sleeve t-shirts. We've got V-neck shirts. We've got polo shirts, really stylish and smart and glamorous polo shirts. And we've got hoodies, and we've got stickers, and we've got hats, all, I should say, top quality. The reviews the feedback we've had from our viewers who bought these things has been phenomenal. It's been fantastic. So own these great things. Buy yourselves these things for your friends and for yourself. DRN20, the discount is still there, but not for much longer. Buy the books so that you can learn all about the things that we've been talking about, and at the same time support the firefighters. Support the Durant by buying things from our shop. Alex will tell you how to do it.
Go to thedurant.com, thedurantshop.com. You'll find links for everything in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of The Durant, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.